This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
And guess what? Three straight wins, a 109-90 victory in Detroit.
Things are happening here with the Knicks.
Randle, left corner three, it's good.
Julius Randle has played every game, leads the team in minutes, points, rebounds, and assists.
I'm not really surprised where we're at as a team. We have a certain level of focus on a night-to-night basis that gives us a shot every night.
Julius Randle is a guy that should be here because he's been that good this season.
We got big smiles and laughs going around the radio station right now. Knicks win three in a row and go over 500.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
Go New York, go New York, go!
Oh, yeah. What a song. What a day to be alive. March 1, 2021. Knicks with multiple big wins over the weekend. Nets losing on Saturday night. Now, no Kyrie Irving. Hammered by Dallas. Not that big a deal, right? I mean, you don't look at this, Rick, as anything more than you only had one of the big three and you didn't play well.
No, that's it. That's it, right? All that is. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is just to make sure that when Kevin Durant comes back, he stays back and, you know, Kyrie stays healthy down the stretch.
There's nothing to worry about with the Nets, right? Like, as long as they're healthy when they get to the postseason, that's all you need, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, you would imagine so. I mean, with how good they are offensively, I'll be interested to see what happens when they go up against, I mean, the two teams that you would point to in the East that could cause a problem for them would be Milwaukee with Giannis and Philly with Embiid. That's it. Because, I mean, they don't have anyone that, I mean, they don't have anyone. I mean, Jeff Green is doing a good job, but they don't really have anyone that matches up well against those two players. They don't.
Well, who does?
Nobody. Nobody. Very
probably
few teams.
Nobody. But, I mean, again, I mean, that's not something that I think you could, you're going to be able to address anyway. Like, I don't know how real the possibility of getting Andre Drummond is. Because physically, I mean, he's big enough to match up with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he's a possibility at this point.
Fair point. But yeah, based on what we've seen from this Nets team once they added James Harden, I don't think there's much to worry about until they get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I really don't. And I know we're throwing Milwaukee in there just because of how good they can be when you start getting top-end production from Giannis and this guy starts hitting threes. But I still don't trust that Bucks team. This Sixers team with Doc Rivers as their coach and the way that Joel Embiid has played all season long, like, they'll be there in the end. I think we're going to be faced with the Sixers-Nets Eastern Conference Finals.
And I
would have to give the edge to the Nets just based on what they're capable of being when they're full strength.
If you're the Sixers, you better hope to God that you don't face them before the Eastern Conference Finals, because I don't think the Nets really care about where they wind up. So if you're the Sixers, if you're the one, you can't have them be the four, which they probably won't be. But the 2-3 has to be a concern if you're Philadelphia or Milwaukee. Like, you want to avoid the Nets at all costs until you get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
No, I absolutely hear you on that one, Dave. But here's the thing. If you're Milwaukee, I don't know if you're going to be able to keep pace with what the Nets are going to plan on doing in the second half. Like, the Nets are trying to position themselves for the championship. And so Kevin Durant, once he comes back, Kyrie Irving being in the lineup, like James Harden doing what he's doing, like, this team is going to put their foot on the gas. Like, I don't see this team slowing down. I mean, they had an 8-game win streak halted on Saturday. But, I mean, that was the longest win streak in the NBA. I see them doing similar things in the second half just to build momentum as they go to the postseason.
What's amazing, too, about Brooklyn, and I think we'll get a better idea of, you know, what to expect in the postseason once, you know, all three stay healthy and play together more often. I mean, is, you look at some of the stats when they play together. I know it's only a small sample size. It's only 7 games. When Durant, Harden, and Irving all play at the same time, they average 124 points a game.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. But, Rico, what do they have? 7 games where they play together?
Yep.
So, I mean, think about that. Like, in the second half, they're going to have to get more games under their belt. So, if they're playing more games together, you got to think that they're going to be winning a lot of games. Like I said,
yeah, I would imagine it's going to be Brooklyn and Philly.
Top two seeds.
Yeah, I would think so as well.
I think so too.
Yeah. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I want to be careful how I how I phrase this, because the Nets are the more fun team to watch. But let me ask you this. And Chris, I think you're the better person to ask because you're not a Knicks fan, because Rick will probably say Knicks. If you could watch the Knicks, if they're both playing at the same time and you're only allowed to watch either the Knicks or the Nets play, who would you choose to watch right now?
Oh, Dave, I got to go with the Nets, man.
Really?
As much as I got to go with the Nets. And I'm not necessarily rooting for the Nets, but it's a spectacle. Like, I have to watch it. Every night you're going to see something spectacular. And with Kyrie Irving, you're probably going to hear something spectacular, too, with his post-game press conference. But, I mean, just watching them and watching top-end talent being able to play together. Like, Kevin Durant, when he's cooking, I mean, there is no better player offensively in the NBA. Like, that's, I mean, he's going to go down, Dave, as a top-five scorer in NBA history. That's how good Kevin Durant is when he's healthy. James Harden, you know, arguably the second-best isolation player in this era. And then Kyrie Irving is the best ball handler in the world. So, I mean, you have all of that on one team. So you absolutely have to watch it. Stephen A. said it last week on Stephen A.'s World. He said if he had a ticket and he can only watch one player in the NBA do his thing on a nightly basis, he said that Kyrie Irving is the guy that he would want to watch.
Wow. You know, the amazing thing about that is of the three, he'd be the third of mine on that team.
Agreed. I completely agree. But, I mean, that just shows you how interesting this Nets team is, Dave. Not to take anything away from the Knicks, because I love watching the Knicks and rooting for them. Like, I know it's my job, but it's an easy watch just because of how hard this team plays.
I think I'd choose the Knicks, and maybe I would choose the Knicks because I'm a Knicks fan, but I just think there's something really fun about this team and special about this team. And I know what the Nets are. The Nets are great. The Nets are not going to lose a lot of games. I think the Knicks, is it fair to say they're the better story right now, or is that a completely crazy thing to say?
I mean, I guess they're more interesting at this moment just because you expect, I mean, we're sitting here trying to figure out, you know, things that could trip up Brooklyn. Like, I mean, you'll start paying more attention to Brooklyn once, you know, all three are healthy and you get closer to, you know, the postseason, where they're at. But the expectation is that Brooklyn will be in the Eastern Conference Finals at least, right?
100%.
So we'll have more chances to watch Brooklyn because they'll go on a deeper playoff run?
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty too, Dave, I mean, I enjoy watching the Knicks because I'm a, you know how much I love the Knicks, but it's like, if you asked an NBA fan, what would you rather watch, the Tampa or an NHL fan, the Tampa Bay Lightning or the New York Islanders? Like, the Tampa Bay Lightning is more fun to watch because they're more skilled. The Islanders play, they're like the Knicks. They don't have a ton of talent.
Right.
I mean, they got Matt Barzell, who's their guy.
They get the most out of it. Yeah.
And they play great defense, which for a lot of people is...
Is a turn off.
Is
not
a turn
on, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. I think it's closer than we thought it possibly would be. Let's go to Emmanuel in Flushing. Emmanuel, you're next up on 98.7.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good, man. Listen, man, last night I was so excited. I mean, it kind of reflects on back. Like, 2 years ago, when we had the worst record in the league, we were 9-26. And then last year we won 10-25. And then now we're 18-17 in the first 35 games of the season. And second, I mean, it's great to have two New York basketball teams playing well. Listen, it'll be the first time in 8 years we have both New York teams and both LA teams in the NBA playing well in the first 35 games. I mean, how cool is that?
Well, I think it's great. I mean, just New York sports in general. I mean, you look at the baseball teams too. I mean, both baseball teams have high expectations. But you know what I think is interesting, though? I mean, as far as what we do on, you know, on this radio station, just in this city, it seems to me that the Knicks are the bigger local story, and the Nets are clearly, I mean, nationally
yes.
the bigger story.
I think you're 100% right. The Knicks, but here's the thing. The Knicks, I think, are the bigger local story. Think about that for a second. The other team has the greatest collection of players we've seen. Yeah, you know, certainly top 3-4 of all time, and the Knicks are the bigger story in New York right now. It's pretty remarkable.
But it just goes to show you. I mean, it's a Knicks town. It really is.
It is a Knicks town. Last time they were here was 2013. Chris, what were you doing in 2013?
I was getting ready to start my first season with the Baltimore Ravens, Dave. That's the last thing I was. That's what I was doing in 2013.
I mean,
almost feels like a lifetime ago when you think about it.
You weren't doing radio yet, were you, Rick?
No, I think I may have been sharing a bed with Cassie and her mother in Charlotte right around then. That was like close to the end. I think that was about ready. No, I was about ready to retire at that.
That was a dark time for you, wasn't it?
Yes, a lot of sleepless nights, crying myself to sleep with some frozen yogurt by the bed. Yeah.
And you had to turn over and your mother-in-law was just lying there?
Well, to the right, yeah. Like Cassie in the middle and her mother-in-law to the...
So the mother-in-law was on the far side. You didn't...
Far side,
like,
yeah,
you were
yeah.
in the middle there as like
exactly.
a
sandwich.
Exactly, just
in case you want to get overly handsy at night.
Imagine you turn the wrong way. Oops, sorry.
That could get uncomfortable. That could get uncomfortable, yeah.
Didn't realize you were there. Sorry about that. So what did but what did that do to that romantic time? I mean, it must have kiboshed it, no?
Yeah, there was no romantic
time. There was, I was about to say.
No.
Not at all.
Zero. I wasn't in the mood anyway. I mean, depression for a while.
Wait. Hang on a second. We finally found the thing that ruined you?
That, at the end of my hockey career, ruined me for a long time. Yeah.
Really?
I was dead. Yeah, oh, yeah.
But I mean, in that way, in bedroom time, sexy time, ruined you.
Oh, yeah. Like, gave me ED-ish. Just nothing.
His head wasn't right, Dave. His head wasn't right.
No interest. None.
Wow.
Just self-loathing.
But you wanted to eat your face off, didn't you? Like burgers and wings and fries and yogurt and ice cream.
Oh, yeah. Just eating your feelings. You ballooned up a little bit. And then all of a sudden, Cassie got pregnant with Milo, and then it turned in. I gained 50 pounds.
Well, you're sympathetic weight.
Exactly right. I wanted to be a part of it.
I understand.
You want some pizza? Good. I'll have some pizza, too.
That's right. I'm not going to make you eat alone. I'm not a savage, not an animal. What do you think I am? 3 scoops of ice cream? I'll do that with you. This is the kind of support I'll show you.
This is the kind of things I was doing for RJ this weekend when he was getting ready for his wedding. Trying to give him some advice.
Give me a big wedding.
Set him off on the right foot.
He's very frustrated by the florist, by the way.
This is what happens. This is why I told him. I have a wedding planner that ends up saving.
Rick, he can't afford a wedding planner?
She's not expensive.
But it's another expense.
Listen, with the amount of money that she saves you dealing with all the cake, florist, venue, all that different stuff.
Pays
the amount
for
of money
it.
She saved us. She saved us double what I paid her on stuff I would have had no idea about.
Yeah, but she can't save you on the florist, though, Rico.
She should probably make a call to her.
No, she can't. The flowers is tough. The flowers is not easy.
No, not at all. That's the biggest racket in the whole deal. Like, for one day, the live flowers.
Or if you try to get, or if the guy who's making your cake tries to, last minute, screw you over and you don't even realize, you don't even see
it
coming.
Well, what do you mean? How did he try to screw you over? I never heard this.
Well, because we had a good relationship with the guy. Like, I used to always go in. They own a beautiful bakery. And he also owns a nice, sandwich shop. So I would always, kind of like a kitchen cabaret-ish.
Okay.
Right? So I would always go in. Great relationship. They named a sandwich. Like, the whole nine. It was awesome. And it was right on my way home. So after practice, I'd stop in, grab the sandwich, chat a little bit, iced coffee, yada-dee, yada-do. And then, so we're planning the wedding. And we love this bakery. So we go through the whole process. We want a red velvet cake with the cream cheese frosting, and we're doing tastings. Now we need a little bit more cream cheese, this and that. Okay, how many layers? How many tiers? Okay, no problem. So what do I owe you? Don't worry. We'll take care of you.
So he was going to give you the wedding cake in your mind for free?
No, not free.
Oh, okay.
And just just
give you a good deal.
Yeah, reasonable. No big deal.
All right.
So, I mean, now we're getting towards, this is getting, we're approaching wedding time. And Cassie's like, listen, you need to stop in. We got to pay for this thing. Like, every time I ask, he says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So I'm driving by. I stop in. I say, okay, how much? We got to get this cake taken care of because, the wedding's in, a week.
Interested to see how this went south because I don't see it right now, but go ahead.
So he's like, okay, here's, we'll take care of it today. He comes out with the invoice and it's like double what a cake should cost.
What?
Like, if I told you the number, I don't want to say the number because you would vomit.
Really? Outrageous. But
so
here's the thing. You are a hostage. There's nothing you could do.
Exactly.
This is days before the wedding.
Exactly right.
So what'd you do?
So then we had the wedding planner, who I'm trying to get RJ hooked up with. She calls Buddy. Buddy from Buddy's, the cake? The cake boss?
Oh, okay. You're talking about Buddy the Elf. But
no, not Buddy the Elf. I could use Buddy the Elf. So she's friendly with Buddy the cake boss. So she says, okay, here's the cake. This is, this is what they ordered. Da, da, da. How much would it cost to make this? And he's like, whatever he said, which was it was a third of what they were trying to charge me for this cake.
Wow.
So we eventually figured it out, but that was it. I mean, you're going to try to hold me, like you said.
He's a bad guy. He's a bad guy.
A week before the wedding, all of a sudden you drop this on me.
Well, you don't go to the Tony Soprano cake shop. I think that's
what would you expect, though, if someone kept telling you, don't worry about it, don't worry about it?
I would want to know the number. At some point before that, I'd be like, listen, I understand we'll take care of it. We'll get a good deal. What is that going to be? Because your definition of a good deal could be different than my definition. And in fact, it was. So there you have it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Knicks and the Nets conversation going on right now. Let's get to a couple of the calls. Let's go to John in Valley Stream. John, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you, man? I had wedding cake nightmare, too. I just want to touch, you know, I'm a diehard Knicks fan, and I know this is probably going to come off biased, so maybe not the most popular thing, but I got to tell you, man, the Knicks story to me just seems a lot more entertaining and exciting than the Nets story, because once they got KD and Kyrie, it was almost like a foregone conclusion that they were at least going to get to the Eastern Finals. And watching this Knicks team, just this blue-collar mentality, defense, nose to the grindstone, no, you know, elite players per se. I just feel like it's a much more exciting. I kind of feel like a Mets fan, and I'm a Yankee fan during the draft and you know preseason this year. How exciting it is! I just want to give you a take. Who do you think like in the NBA right now is like a diamond in the rough, like just a hardcore defensive, threat? Kind of like a Malone, Rodman type of guy, like that you think we might be able to steal instead of going for some blockbuster trade like we kind of usually do and fall on our face. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Well, thanks. I don't know, guys, that you look at a trade and say, we need a great defensive player. I mean, you'd like him to fit into the style that you're playing, but I think just the opposite almost. I think you need a guy that can score the basketball.
Yeah, I think you need some offense, Dave. I think you need somebody that could be a walking bucket, somebody that you trust to be able to close games out, a guy that can create his own shot and create for others. I mean, the Knicks don't really have that guy right now. I mean, do you have a guy in IQ that could potentially develop in that some point down the road? Yeah, but I feel like this team is good enough now where it makes sense for Leon Rose and that front office to explore a trade that can bring back a guy that you trust can be able to do it because you've seen him do it in the NBA. I don't know who that guy's going to end up being. I would love to see them make a run at Brad Beal. Yeah. Maybe it ends up being a Victor Oladipo. I mean, I feel like they do need somebody that could provide a little more punch in that backcourt.
Well, that's when it gets sketchy for the Knicks is down the stretch. I mean, you saw that last night, too. I mean, IQ had that turnover where he tried to go cross-court with the pass, and the mm-hmm. second he did that, he got pulled and Derrick Rose was back in. But, I mean, Derrick Rose is fine, but, I mean, Derrick Rose is not a great shooter. I mean, R.J. Barrett is not – he's not a great ball handler or a great
passer. You
need
another score. You need another legitimate scoring option.
You need someone to finish games.
You need a closer. You need a closer.
That can handle the basketball.
Yeah, you need a closer worse than the Mets need a closer.
Don't even get me started with that, please.
You're the one that's all positive on Diaz.
I have – what is my choice?
Exactly. I'm about to say.
Be realistic.
I have no choice at this point but to be optimistic.
All right.
Because they didn't address it.
No, they did not. At all.
Scares the hell out of me.
That should. That's what I've been telling you. Like, no, he's going to be good. He's good in the second half last year. That's your big mantra.
Well, he was better in the second half. Luckily, Lugo's going to be back at some point. I trust him. This is why I said you should have. I know Brad Hand wanted to close, but if you offer him a couple extra million bucks, I think he could change his mind.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's go to Sharpie, named after a marker, incidentally, in East Meadow. Sharpie, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, Sharpie?
How are you?
That's been good. It's going to work. Just wanted to know, the way this Knicks team is playing right now, can they win a first-round playoff series?
I don't think they're there right now.
Yeah,
I don't think constituted.
So.
I don't see it. No.
That depends on where they finish, too. Let's wait till we start talking about first-round playoff matchups.
Well, they're going to be bottom three, right? I mean, do you feel good about them against the Sixers, the Nets, or the Bucks?
No. It's hard to envision that the Knicks, and I think realistically, and you'll be excited and you'll want them to, but realistically, the expectations are to get in.
Yes.
Anything beyond that, I think, is gravy, and I don't expect them to win a playoff series.
But it's an invaluable experience, too, for the young
players. I love it.
It just hammers home, too, I mean, what Tom Thibodeau has been preaching the entire season. Like, if you play this way, it's going to result in this. And if this is the playoffs, I mean, how do you not embrace that and buy into it? You have no choice. But I think they will add a piece of that. I'll be interested to see what happens. Because, I mean, they feel like with what this team has done, especially defensively, And we just talked about their need for, you know, late in games, someone you trust that can get you buckets late.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make a move.
Does Zach LaVine move the needle for you at all?
Yeah, Zach LaVine moves the needle.
Yeah.
I'd rather Bradley Beal.
Yeah, he balls.
I mean, Beal's the guy
in the half court.
Beal's the guy, but Zach LaVine, I think, would give you some punch. Like, he's a guy that you can trust late in the game to take the last shot. Like, he would be that guy.
He can score.
Yeah, certainly can.
And he's going to come a lot cheaper than Brad Beal.
Way cheaper. But yeah. Beal's such a star at this point. Earl in Brooklyn, earlier next up on 98.7.
Good morning, gentlemen. You guys still stuck on trading two guys and Randall and R.J. Barrett for Beal?
No one's trading Randall.
No, we have taken Randall out of those conversations, Earl.
You take Randall out of the picture, and so now who are you trading? No one wants Nikita. No one wants the other guy. You got to keep Quigley, right? Peyton is iffy. You know, he's hurting. We just got Derrick Rose. Why mess up the chemistry? Like I said last week to you guys.
Because the upside.
Hold on, Canty. You got to have an inside-outside game. You know, Bradley's just giving us an outside game. We keep Randall. Now we got an inside-outside game. But those guys are going to come around. Thibodeau is a good coach. They're going to come around. They're going to be confident. RJ Barrett is making. You know, and like I told you guys last week, you got to have something in the low post. Look at the Lakers, Canty. The last six games, you're 2-4 because you don't have a low post guy. And
they look a hell of a lot better yesterday against the Warriors with Dennis Schroeder back.
The second best player.
They looked a lot better with Schroeder back. They looked a lot better.
Schroeder was back the other day against Utah. They didn't look like good.
Well, Utah is playing the best basketball anybody in the NBA. But here's the thing, man. When you start talking about the Knicks team, when you start talking about this particular team, listen, if you have the opportunity to pair Brad Beal with Julius Randle, you absolutely make that decision. Because the upside of the Knicks is a lot greater than what they currently have right now. And the fact is, with the young players that you're trying to wait to see what they develop into, guys like R.J. Barrett, guys like Mitchell Robinson, you're still just talking about potential. Brad Beal is an all-star. Brad Beal is one of the best scorers in the NBA. If you pair him with Julius Randle, another all-star, you're talking about the Knicks being a top-four seed in the NBA moving forward in the East. Top-four seed in the Eastern Conference in the NBA moving forward. That's the kind of team that you have. Right now, I know they're fourth in the East, but water always finds its level from a talent standpoint. They don't belong in that territory. Now they're playing over. They're playing out of their minds. But I just look at this team and I say their ceiling is limited in terms of what they can be based on the talent that they have and the guys that are in the backcourt. If you add a Brad Beal, all that changes. Which is why you explore the trade. Which is why you risk the chemistry on this team.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, you guys watch every Knicks game. Is Julius Randle not their low post game?
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
Yes, he is.
What are their entire offense at times, actually. Low post, passing out of the low post, isolated on the wing, standing outside, hitting the three. He does everything.
So what is he saying, though? What is Earl saying? Like, who are you adding?
I don't know what he's saying.
Like, you don't want to add Brad Beal, but you want to add a low post game? Who? Andre Drummond would help
this
team?
Low post basketball the way you win now?
No, that's not how you win now.
The opposite of how you win.
So I don't know why people are so against
because people get nervous to make trades. People get it's just in their DNA. I understand why. I think you have to look past it and get past it. But people get nervous to they're playing well. They're 18-17. You like the pieces you have. You like what Rose has done. You're thinking about the future. I don't agree with it. I agree with you 100%. I would make the trade for Bradley Beal. But that's the other side of why people get anxious to make a trade like this.
I don't see the downside.
I don't either. I don't either. Keep Julius Randle, makes all the sense in the world.
Robinson, Barrett, and then whatever picks you're looking for.
I'm not opposed to that, Dave. I don't have a problem with that at all. You still have IQ, who's the young guy that you're hoping develops into
Rose.
Your future point guard. Derrick Rose. You still got Nerlens Noel, who filled in admirably in Mitchell Robinson's absence. I mean, you got to figure out what you're going to do at the three, but I mean, listen, you got options. You got different things that you can do. You'll figure that part of it out. But having Brad Beal and Julius Randle as your 1-2 punch, You're legitimately a top 14 in an Eastern Conference, Dave.
Pretty attractive.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Quickly, let's go to Joe in Linden. Joe, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. So, as a Knicks fan, you know, obviously I'm nervous about making a trade this season, because I feel we bring in Bradley Beal. Let's say we get the trade done. I still don't see us beating Brooklyn in the playoffs.
Well, you don't.
So I'm not sure whose contract is up after this season or who's going to be hitting free agency at the end of the season, but why not wait? We lose less. We still get a big name. But like I said, I don't know who's available at the end of the year.
Yeah, but you don't get Bradley Beal. You don't get the guy who's leading the NBA in scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to, again, I mean, it would scare me. It scares me less to make a deal for Bradley Beal than it does to all of a sudden now go into free agency and just hope someone chooses the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
We've seen that before, no?
But you have a better chance, Rico, of making the Knicks a destination if you do have Brad Beal and Julius Randle here. Like, if those are the two foundational pieces for what the Knicks are going to be for the foreseeable future. Like, you have an opportunity to attract more talent here with the Knicks. So, yeah, you're not ready to compete with the Brooklyn Nets or the Sixers, the Jazz, the Lakers, the Clippers. You're not on that level yet. But you can build toward it, and getting a player like Brad Beal helps you do that. The reason why you would trade for him before the offseason is because Washington might be intent on trading Bradley Beal before the offseason.
And the caller's right. There's nothing you can do that's going to make you better than Brooklyn right now. There's nothing you can do. But it doesn't mean you can't be a better version of yourself. And listen, Chris, you've said it, and I agree with you. If you were to pull the trigger on a deal like that and have Beal and Julius Randle and Thibodeau coaching this team and Keep Quickly and Rose and those guys, this could be the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, no question about it, Dave. You're talking about a team that can win a playoff series at that point. And you're building towards something. Not to mention, you're also developing the young players that you still do have on this team. Like, you're still going to have an opportunity to develop Emmanuel Quickly. And he's going to be that much better because he's got the experience in playing in meaningful games in the second half and on into the postseason. So, I mean, listen, I understand that Knicks fans don't want to give up on their young players, but in order to get something, you got to give up something. And I think we would all admit, giving up the potential that is R.J. Barrett and Mitchell Robinson for what is with Bradley Beal seems like a trade worthwhile.
Maybe it's me. I don't have this love affair with Mitchell Robinson. He's fine. He's a nice player. He's athletic. He's a good defender. He can rebound the ball. But I don't think he's this great player, which a lot of people seem to think.
I think you're more likely to replace someone like Mitchell Robinson this offseason in free agency than you would be trying to find someone as good as Bradley Beal.
Completely agree.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. All right. So did you guys watch any of the Yankees game at all yesterday?
I did.
I love what baseball does with these interviews. I love the fact that you feel like you're kind of part of the game. And they spoke with Luke Voit yesterday during the game. And it's funny because he was on the line with the guys on Yes Network for a couple of home runs. And he got excited by that. But it's good for baseball to incorporate something different. And you don't get this in these other sports. I think it's great. Let's take a listen. Here it is, Yes Network, the conversation with Luke Voit during the game.
You know, it's good to get back in the box. Oh, there we go. Get out, ball. Get going.
The right center field.
Hey!
Oh, see ya! A two-run home run for Brent.
Mikey. Do it.
Driven deep to right field. Fair ball. It's gone.
Mikey.
See ya! A long home run for Tuchman.
I'm good luck.
And it's 5-4. You're good luck, Luke.
Now, what are we doing here now with Kay? Kay is not... There's no way Kay can like this.
Well, he's getting stepped all over there.
He's getting Maloney'd right now.
That's right.
What's happening?
Well, I think what he's going to say, and this will be my, and I'm not happy with Kay, by the way, at all.
Why? I mean, what happened? What happened now?
Friday. I mean,
he's turned nasty.
He got spicy, Rico. Got spicy on Friday.
he's turned nasty. I mean, he has a love affair with you. I think it's a psychosexual love affair with you, and because of that, he's lashing out on everybody else. I don't know what else to look. I said nothing wrong. I said what everybody thinks. Peter thinks it. Chris thinks it. Dom thinks it. I think it. It's the infatuation between the two of you is strange. We'll get to that in Canty Canty in just a moment. But here's what I think. I think the excuse that Kay is going to use is Luke Voit is not a paid professional broadcaster, so he's not going to be upset because he stepped all over the home run calls. That would be my guess.
I would agree with that. Yeah, but this is what you're signing up for by doing that interview, though, is that he's going to react to what he's seeing. Like, he's not focused on, like, he's not concerned about what calls being made. He's focused on what he's seeing.
That's right.
I thought
and
it was great.
He doesn't know what the right thing to do. Like ball hit deep to right. Luke Voigt's not like, okay, I shut up and I don't want to step on the voice of the Yankees here.
No, I mean, you want his genuine reaction to what he's seeing on the field, mm-hmm. which I thought was great. But, I mean, these are all things you could get, because I think the players would be willing to do stuff like this if the relationship with the owners was better.
So you think the players would do something like this during the regular season?
I love it.
I think they do it. I think they would actually wear headsets during the game if you asked them to.
Interesting. I mean, it's certainly a way to be able to draw fans in and take them behind the curtain just to give them exposure to the chatter that's happening in the games. But I just still feel like there's a bigger issue with baseball. Like, having sound with the players on the field during the game is kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. Because the overarching problem with baseball is that you just have so much inactivity in the game based on how it's played today.
But
they
got
to find a way
that?
To be able to fix that.
How?
If I don't know. I don't know what the answers are. I mean, I don't know if it's going to an electronic strike zone or incentivizing players that hit for average. Putting the ball in play has to be a priority for baseball moving forward.
Money. That's how you incentivize them, is money.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, they have to do that. Find a way to be able to do that, though. But that's not what teams are doing. That's not what analytics are telling them. Like, it's home run or strikeout.
Well, the whole system's broken, right? Like, when you look at how the system is built in baseball, how much team control they have of a player before he gets to free agency, which is the real money, right?
Yeah.
When you look at how many years it is, and then what analytics tells you about a player's prime and what you're willing to pay for, the system's broke. Because, I mean, by the time you actually get to, you know, where you're making money, analytically, you're almost past your prime. So it doesn't line up.
It doesn't line up. Look at Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I mean, analytically, like, they're telling you from the ages, I think, I was watching something the other day, I think they say from the age of, like, I think 26 to 28, like, those 2 years are, like, those 3 years, 26 years old, 27, 28, those are, like, your three really good prime years.
Yep.
And that, you're not, I mean, look at what Aaron Judge is. I mean, Aaron Judge is going to be 31 when he's a free agent.
That's right.
And when you look at the money that's being spent in free agency, I mean, it's steadily on the decline.
Yeah, it's collusive. I mean, without, you know, calling it like it, that's what it is. When you have teams, I mean, look at some of the teams around Major League Baseball that spend no money on their rosters. Literally no money on their rosters. How is that fair for the game? How is that good for the game?
It's not.
It's not, Dave. It's not. I was just looking at the bottom three spenders in baseball.
It's disgusting.
The Orioles, the Pirates, and the Indians, Dave.
And what are they, Chris?
It's like 38, 42, and 44 million.
Come on.
I mean, they don't add up to the lowest spending team in the NFL, which is the Jacksonville Jaguars at 130. Like, that's how bad it is. I mean, we have this conversation about what baseball needs to do in terms of their collective bargaining agreement. They absolutely have to put a minimum spend on their payroll. There's no way that team should be allowed to spend $40, $50 million in payroll. That's absolutely ridiculous.
It's just because you know what they're doing? They're running it like an actual, like a store. Like, we can win 58 games, and we're going to wind up making a boatload of money.
And we'll let the Yankees and the Dodgers and all those major market teams do the heavy lifting for us.
That's right.
But every sport's doing it now, man. I mean, every sport is eliminating the middle class. It's either the superstar player who gets paid, or you have a bunch of young guys. It's the middle class that gets eliminated.
But you can't have payrolls of $40 million for a team.
No, you can't. But, I mean, we keep bringing this up. Next CBA, they want a you know, marketplace where there's no cap. But when the owners start using the luxury tax as a hard cap and there's no salary floor, that needs to be addressed. Like, if you're going to use the luxury tax threshold as a hard cap, there's got to be, to Chris's point, there's got to be a minimum amount of money that teams have to spend.
100%.
You can't have Gerrit Cole making more money
than
one of the team is spending.
That's crazy.
No. It's gross, to be honest.
It's crazy.
And all I wanted was a nice, uplifting conversation about baseball that I enjoy when they talk to the guys, you know, during the game. And that's
you think
where we
the
go.
You think the relationship is bad now?
It's going to
get ugly after this year. Ugly.
It's going
Dude, I'm looking
get.
At some of the numbers right now, Dave. So you got the average Major League Baseball player. So their salary change from the first year of the CBA to the last year of the CBA. In every CBA, we always say the Major League Baseball union is the best union.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's progressively gone up from the year they signed it to the year it ends. From the time they signed this CBA, which is 2017, till now, it's down. It's down 0.6%.
Really?
The previous CBA, where it was up 29%.
They got hoodwinked. They got hoodwinked in that last deal.
No trust. There's such distrust. It's really bad. It's really, really bad, and it's really a problem. DCR, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier to help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Little Kenny Canty, let's go there. Let's go there now.
Everyone's favorite. Can he or can't he?
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
And a fine Monday morning to all of you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You as well, RJ. Although it sounds like you had a stressful weekend with the wedding planning.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into great detail. I'll just say the flowers. I was brought up to speed on how this works. And I don't like the speed. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not even a fan of the vehicle we're in. But that's
where
another
go
time.
With? What'd you go with? What kind of flower did you go
we
with?
We haven't made any decisions yet. I was texting Yurik over the weekend, and you know, I feel like we were being showed a lot of the Patrick Mahomes of flowers. I want more so, like, I want a Matthew Stafford. Like, I can win with this kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the florist was taking your temperature on the kind of flowers you wanted this weekend,
I didn't
huh?
like it. Yeah. I didn't like it. You know, I need some flowers on a rookie deal.
You were thermometer boy this weekend, huh?
I need to free up some cap space. I need flowers on a rookie deal. But anyways, you've been talking about the Knicks, so let's go back to that. So they're currently the 4 seed. I don't think anyone realistically expects them to stay there. But you've talked about it all morning, so I want to gauge your temperature as to where you're at right now. Can we expect the Knicks not to stay in the top 4, but to stay in the top 6 in the East by the time the season's over?
RJ, as much as I enjoy watching the Knicks, no, we can't expect them to stay in the top 6. And I'll tell you why. The teams that are trailing them, Boston, Toronto, Miami, I think from a talent standpoint are clearly ahead of them. And you can understand those teams getting out to a slow start just because they were actually in the bubble and they got a lot of tread on them. I expect all three of those teams to leapfrog the Knicks. I think the Knicks and the Hornets will be right there together, vying for that 7-8 spot. And based on where that's at, I don't know, man. The Charlotte Hornets, to me, they're one of those teams that you got to watch. They're up and coming. Like, I feel better about their talent base, although I do feel better about the Knicks coaching. So I don't think we can say that the Knicks will be a top 6 team in the East. I think they're going to be resigned to those play-in games.
I'm going to agree with that, sadly. I absolutely expect them to be top 10, but do I expect them to be top 6? I think that's somewhat unrealistic. So, no, I'll say they could, but I don't expect it. So I'll say they won't, and they can't.
Yeah, I hate to agree because I think it's bad for the game. But, I mean, as we look at Miami, Boston, Toronto, I mean, in the second half schedule for the New York Knicks, I think they'll make. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say candy.
You're going to slip up at some point. Just embrace it.
All right. Woj is reporting that Anthony Simons of the Blazers, Cassius Stanley of the Pacers, and Obi Toppin of the Knicks are scheduled to take place in the dunk contest. Now, if you haven't heard, the NBA All-Star game will have a halftime show of the dunk contest. They're going to do it all in one shot. So I know Toppin has underperformed this season, expectations. Is there any way we can find some kind of positive where Toppin uses this dunk contest to kind of springboard into a strong second half for the Knicks?
I'm going to say we can, RJ. And listen, Toppin got out to a slow start this season because of the calf injury. And, you know, for a guy whose game is based on explosion, I mean, that's a big deal. I think it's bigger than most people want to realize. But as far as him being able to have some success during All-Star weekend in the dunk contest, yeah, I think he can be one of those things that helps him build confidence. Like, I mean, you look at that dunk contest you had a couple of years ago with Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine. They put on an absolute show. And that's when they jumped out on the national stage. And for both of those players, that gave them a lot more confidence moving forward. I think you can have a similar effect with Obi Toppin. He's going to be a guy that's coming off the bench. But, I mean, I think that you can see him start to build some more confidence if he does have a good performance in this dunk contest. So I'm going to say he can.
Who are the performers, RJ? Cassius Stanley, Anthony Simons, and Obi Toppin?
As of now, yes.
Simon, that is some star-studded lineup there, huh?
It's a halftime show.
Yeah, some show. No, listen, I think he could have a better second half. I don't think he'll be propelled by whatever he does in the dunk contest. You know, we go back in the Wayback Machine, and there was a guy by the name of Kenny Walker for the Knicks, Kenny Skywalker, who won the dunk contest. and he was not good in the second half of the season. So, no, he can't be propelled from winning or doing great in the slam dunk contest.
I don't listen, I think it can only help his confidence. I mean, having the experience of being at an All-Star game, it absolutely helps your confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great as a Knicks fan to watch him win the dunk contest, although I don't think that improves his shooting or his lack of defense.
He can't shoot at all, huh?
He cannot shoot, and his defense is not great. So I will say can't be.
Knicks a team with a lot of success in the dunk contest over the years. Big dunk contest team.
Terrific.
All right, we haven't talked about Kyrie yet. He spoke about a topic a lot of people have weighed in on lately, and that's the NBA logo being changed from Jerry West to Kobe Bryant. Before we weigh in, let's hear real quick from Kyrie Irving.
I'm not discrediting anyone when I say that Kobe should be the logo, because we have so many examples of guys that did things on and off the floor that were leaps and bounds for us to be where we are now. I'm just saying present day, I think 224, it's only a year after the memorial. And, you know, it's just a refresher that this is the guy for us. He's the guy for me. He's my mentor, more than just an inspiration.
All right. Put simply, can the NBA change the logo to Kobe?
Yeah, I'm going to say they can. I mean, they've had Jerry West as the logo for over 50 years. I understand that there's that attachment to it for sentimental reasons, but I don't have an issue with moving off of that and making Kobe Bryant the logo. Full transparency, I don't have a strong feeling about it one way or the other, but I don't have an issue if the NBA wanted to explore the idea of changing the logo to Kobe Bryant.
I'm going to agree. I think they can as well. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think there's a wrong answer. If you keep it with Jerry West, I'm fine. If you change it to Kobe, I'm fine. I don't feel a strong way anyway. So I'll say, yeah, they can.
I'm going to say Canty.
Wow.
I'm going to say Canty. And I wouldn't mind seeing them change the logo. But, I mean, let's also understand, too, what guys like Magic did for the game, what Larry Bird did for the game. I don't, Michael Jordan, like, you can't use his logo because he already has his own logo.
It's already all over the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, his logo's awesome. I want one of those, especially one of those nice Knicks jerseys with the Jordan logo on it. Oh,
yeah, but the only reason that they'd be changing the logo to Kobe is because he perished young, right? So you're not going to change it to Magic or Bird or Matt or Michael or any of those guys. That would be the rationale behind it.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I mean, it's also like recognizing the influence on the game. And there are, I mean, players previous to Kobe who had NBA Finals games were on tape delay at one point, Dave.
In the 80s.
Okay, so, I mean, you got Magic and Bird, who helped save the NBA. And then you got Jordan. And what's going to happen? I mean, LeBron may end up, when this is all said and done, I mean, he's in the same room as Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm. He's in the room.
You're going to change the logo again?
No, I think no. If you change it, you change it this one time to Kobe, and then you stay with him.
I mean, I wouldn't be offended if they changed it at all. I mean, Kobe was great, and obviously had a huge impact on a lot of these NBA players today. I don't know.
I got you. All right. Transition from Rick to more Rick. It wasn't so long ago, a member of this show said something that made a lot of people think, made a lot of people angry. Let's hear it. This is from way back on February 24th.
Kevin Durant keeps coming in and out of the lineup, and Kyrie keeps taking rest days and everything else, and he's the only one that is playing every single night. There was going to be a Brooklyn Net, and initially it was Kevin Durant that was going to get the MVP. If Kevin Durant came back, stayed healthy, played most of the games, he was locked and loaded, comeback player of the year, MVP. One of the Brooklyn Nets, because they're going to end up finishing first in the East, is going to get MVP votes, and it is trending towards James Harden right now being the guy.
Wow. I can see the dominoes starting to fall. Stephen Amp, first take last week. I see some other platforms on this lovely network talking about it today. Can we talk about James Harden as the leader at the break for MVP of the NBA?
As the leader? No, not the leader. So I'm going to say we can't. But as somebody that's in the conversation for MVP and you got to watch him in the second half, absolutely. I mean, James Harden is the one constant with this Brooklyn Nets team. From a playmaking standpoint, he's the guy that you can depend on whether Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant are available or not. That doesn't matter. Like, James Harden is the guy that Steve Nash knows that he's going to be the guy to have the ball in his hands, and he's going to give you a chance to be able to win every single night. For me, I don't know that he's going to win the MVP, but he certainly is in the conversation based on what he's done since they traded for him from Houston.
I will say this. Of the big three with Brooklyn, he clearly is the favorite that would win MVP. But if you're going to say, is he the favorite to win MVP right now? He's not. He's not the favorite to win MVP. So any answer besides he can't is, in fact, the wrong answer right now.
I was listening to the amazing Anita Marks show this weekend, and she had Bobby Marks on. And Bobby Marks put James Harden just behind LeBron James.
Did you know they were related, by the way? I didn't know that until
this
weekend.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
No, but by the way, we need to get Anita on at some point, because she started going like back in the time machine about when she used to live in Miami, and she had Miami cheerleaders as roommates, and they used to party with Jordan and them.
Great stories.
I need some of those stories in my life. We got to have her on at some point. I need to hear at least one of these stories, like ASAP.
Well, we go from one fellow co-worker at the station to another, and this didn't go well. Troubling moment Friday on the K Show, speaking about Rick's relationship with one Michael K.
Listen, you guys can say whatever you want to me. You're like brothers. Dave Rothenberg, keep my name out of your mouth, okay?
Wow. He just wants to know what's going on.
No, because he's a jealous mule. That's what he is.
Oh,
because he can't have the same relationship with the guy that's on a show.
Isn't Dave talented?
Isn't
Dave a really good guy?
Dave who?
See?
Well, Rothenberg is dead to me.
Well, that's easy to be dead to you, because you know what? There's no physical attraction there.
I don't even know where you go. So, put simply, can the relationship between the K-Star and Dave ever recover?
I want to say it can't. It can't, because Dave is going to continue to be bothered by Rick's relationship with the K-Star, and Dave is not going to back down in terms of saying how uncomfortable it is for him. And I think that's just going to further incite Michael. So I don't see a path to reconciliation. I don't know that we're going to be able to pull up out of this nosedive.
Yeah, I don't know that we are either. And why he took shots at me? Because everyone at the station feels the same way. Why am I the one that gets under the wrath of Michael K? Like, Peter thinks it's weird. Chris, you think it's weird. Dom thinks it's weird. Carlin thinks it's weird. I think it's weird. He has a psychosexual relationship with Rick. He won't let go of it. And that's where we are right now. So if he wants to berate me because there's a strange dynamic between the two of them, that's fine. But I don't know that it can be repaired.
I think you need to keep his name out of your mouth. Best part of that clip, though, most underrated part of that clip, was when he goes, Dave who?
It's fine. It's fine. I mean, he's called Michael K.
Called you a jealous mule.
Station, so he can say what he wants, but it's very disrespectful. And you know what's very curious about it? He's so defensive. He can't just say, listen, we have a great relationship and I'm comfortable in my own skin. No, he's very defensive. It's very troubling the way you guys... How often were you in touch with him this weekend, by the way?
I talked to him both days.
But you talked to him on Saturday and Sunday?
Oh, via text, yeah. I mean,
that's not... So you didn't talk to him. You were in touch with him on Saturday and
Sunday. Oh, that's how young people talk now. Via text. Us younger generation.
It's a very strange relationship, Dave.
He's not the younger generation. That's the thing you're missing. You say I'm the younger generation. He's 60.
Outside of the looks, I mean, you got the looks, obviously. And then, I mean, you start peeling back some of this onion of this relationship. And then you got, I mean, education-wise, Fordham, Harvard. I mean,
you didn't go to Harvard! You did not go to Harvard! And you're comparing Fordham to Harvard?
Oh, my gosh.
What the hell is happening here?
Keeps doing it.
And why am I the only one that stands up for this? There's right and wrong. And why am I the only one? Chris, you agree with me that their relationship is odd.
Dave, I just said that. It's weird. Everybody knows it's weird. It doesn't make sense. But Michael K., for whatever reason, decided he's going to take shots at you. I think there's some underlying issues between you two. There's something else going on.
I don't know why he's going there. I think he's deflecting away. I think he's uncomfortable that he's been called out.
Well, Dave, I think it's something else, though. Because, I mean, everybody has called him out. Like, yes. Don and Peter have called him out about this relationship. They were the ones that started it on air. We just continued it because we acknowledged the elephant in the room. But he only took shots at you.
Yeah, I don't know why.
There's something going on. You got to figure it
like
out.
He doesn't like me. He is much.
Do you have any interest in fixing it, Dave? I mean, maybe we can get you two on Maury or something.
I'd like to fix it, but I don't know if it's mendable at this point. I like Michael, but it's clear that he doesn't like me. I think if I went away for good tomorrow, he would be fine with it. He wouldn't skip a beat.
And we get you guys on the Wendy Williams show or something.
Well, that'd be nice.
See if you can work it out.
Be nice.
Hey, Santi, do me a favor. Coming back from next break, just play my Harvard fight song for me, please.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.